Well, thank you for joining me. It is really a pleasure to be able to pray with you. And it's a pleasure right now to speak with Melissa Scaccio. She is a woman whose life has been profoundly impacted, I'm sure, by the prayers of others. And she's a wonderful illustration, really, of the fruit of Relevant Radio and how it helps to form faith, helps to deepen conviction. And she was sharing with us her story. If you missed part of it, go to hour one. You can go back to the archives and listen to her wonderful story. She's here now just to finish that encounter. She was kind of a closet Catholic, sneaking off to Mass. Her husband didn't really know about it, and then faced a little bit of a challenge later in her life. Melissa, we only have a few moments, but I'd love you to share the rest of your story, and then let's pray for you, your family, and for all of your needs.
Oh, well, thank you, Drew. So my kids, I ended up getting into Catholic school, and for 4 to 5 years, I was sneaking off to Mass. I couldn't take the kids with me, and I was just listening to Catholic radio constantly. And then my husband passed away in a motorcycle accident in 2013, and actually quit going to Mass, because that makes a lot of sense. But I never stopped listening to Catholic radio. And eventually my kids asked to please be baptized, and I was like, well, how can I deny them that? Like, I wanted that for them for so long. So the kids were baptized, and we've not really missed Mass since. And that was, oh my gosh, what, almost 9 years ago? Wow. And I went from being someone who didn't know my faith and really was not, I could have taken it or leaven it. Now I run a Catholic coffee shop that focuses on evangelization. I teach confirmation, and I make sure the kids learn everything I wish I'd always known. I give my testimony at conferences and things for the youth. And I co-host a radio show once on Real Presence Radio that comes out of here in Rochester. So I have an enormous debt of gratitude for Catholic radio, because it truly is the catalyst that got me involved in faith, and really it taught me so much, and it stoked the fire. And yeah, I would not be where I am today if Relevant Radio was not on an app on my iPod Touch when I was at work.
I love it. I love your testimony. I'll tell you what, let's pray for you. I know that you're a mother. You struggle to send your kids to Catholic school. You made that decision, and you're willing to sacrifice for it. I want to pray right now, but I'd love to have you back to talk a little bit about why you think Catholic education is so important, that you're willing to, you know, work. And you actually said you're sacrificing. You know, one day you'll have money again, but right now you're giving up an awful lot to make sure your kids have Catholic education. And I just,
yep, you know, it's very important.
You inspired me by that. I think it's wonderful. You're an incredible example to a lot of other people. And formation of our kids is paramount. You and I had this conversation. You know, I talked to you about it. I said, you know, you'll sacrifice now, but in the end, your kids will be better formed, better educated, and their life will be profoundly changed. So I'm going to ask God's blessings on you, Melissa, his providence, and, of course, protection and blessings on your children as well. But we'll have to have you back. Thanks for being here today.
Well, thank you very much, Drew, for having me on. And come visit me at St. James anytime you're in Rochester.
I will. And let's put a quick plug in for that. StJamesCoffee.com is the website, right?
Yep, and we're also on Facebook, St. James Coffee.
And you're the only Catholic bookstore in the country with the Eucharist? Is that my understanding? Am I right on that?
Yeah, the only Catholic coffee shop in the nation, period. Wow. Just that's Catholic. Wow. There are some Christian ones, and we are maybe even internationally the only one that has the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist in our chapel in the back.
Well, I love it. It was divine providence I stopped by that day. So it was nice to meet you, Melissa. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you very much, Drew. Thanks for having me on.
All right, it's Melissa Scaccio. I hope I'm getting her name right. Scaccio, I think is how you say it. Scaccio. Let's pray right now. I want to pray for her. You know, she was sharing with me the fact that, you know, she's making a lot of sacrifices to give her kids a Catholic education. And she really is. And it's just, you know, I love mothers like this. She understands and puts her kids first. That's her primary vocation. And I just want to ask God for providence and blessing on her. God's a God of providence. You know, he's a God of surprises. He's a God of abundance. He's a multiplier. We see that in the scriptures. I've seen food multiply. And I have no doubt that God can do the same thing in your life. He can work miracles. He can you know, allow, you know, those springs of his blessing to wealth, you know, to spring forth from areas you'd never, ever expect. And I just ask right now that God will do that for her and for anyone right now who's struggling financially. I want to pray for conversion, too. I know a lot of you are concerned about your loved one being away from the faith. Maybe you're lukewarm in your faith. One of the great commands of our Lord to St. Faustina, he charged her to intercede for the conversion of sinners. And he encouraged her. He says, pray the chaplet of divine mercy unceasingly. That's the words. Unceasingly pray the chaplet of divine mercy. He says it would have a great power on the conversion of sinners. It'll have great mercy for the dying and for the eternal salvation of certain souls. That's what the Lord told her. And Faustina every day offered the chaplet for dying sinners in particular, and for the conversion of those who are away from the faith. I want to pray now for that intention, and then maybe if I have a little bit of time later, I'll tell you about her sister Wanda and the sacrifices and the prayers that St. Faustina made for her. It was her younger sister, and you know, she wasn't the saint that St. Faustina was. Let's just put it that way. I'll share that story with you. But right now, let's pray, okay? I want to invite Nick Sentovich to join me. He's my colleague here at the network. He'll be praying the chaplet. And Nick, anything you want to lift up or pray for as we kick off the chaplet?
Yes, Drew. excuse me. I'd like to pray for my parents, for their health, for their happiness, and for their joy.
That's a beautiful prayer. Nick, I'll pray for you too then. We'll add you to the prayers. Let's continue to pray for the Siskevich family who lost their daughter the other day, for Peter Grandage, who lost his very close friend and mentor. And I want to pray for anyone today who mourns or who's suffering, anyone who's battling health problems or who's just in need of God's mercy in a special way. Let's begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's invite Barbara to join us. She is praying in the City of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
I'm well, Barbara. Thanks. How can we pray for you?
I'm asking everyone to pray for my son. His name is Daniel. He's 29 years old. He suffers greatly from anxiety and depression, and he has a few other personal issues. So I would appreciate everyone's prayers.
Now let's pray for him right now. Barbara, you said he's 29? Is that how old he is?
Correct.
I got a 29-year-old son, too, so my heart goes out to you. And we'll pray for Daniel right now. And this is an attention that, you know, I think it hits just about every family. And if it's not your direct family, it's your niece or nephew or somebody you know. I'm still perplexed and I'm still searching for the answers to this epidemic of anxiety and depression that so many young men and women have from very young ages through young adulthood, such as Daniel. And Lord, you're the divine healer. We pray against cancer. We pray for finances. We pray for all sorts of things. I pray that you heal today in particular, those struggling with anxiety, those who are crippled by it, those whose futures are being short-circuited because it's impeding them from the path that you've called them to, for those who are just darkened by depression, Lord, that your mercy, those merciful rays of your heart will penetrate and illuminate their minds and their hearts and allow them to have a new beginning. And I ask this, I believe so powerfully, so deeply, so completely in your mercy and in the power of this prayer and the promises you've given to it. So I bring this mother and all parents and all those who struggle with depression and anxiety as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Joanne, listening in Green Bay, Wisconsin, the frozen tundra. Hi, Joanne, thanks for praying with us.
Thank you for taking my call, Drew. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
we're here, Joanne. No, we're grateful for your call.
I hear two voices.
Thank you
for taking my call, Drew. I appreciate it. I'm praying for a miracle. My son had a skiing accident, and he tore his ACL, his meniscus, and some other ligaments in his knee, and he is getting married tomorrow on Saturday.
Oh, wow.
So I'm praying for a miracle, and you won't have a surgery until in May. So I'm praying for a miracle that good things will happen, and God is with him.
Well, let's pray for that. I'm with you. Congratulations, though. That's fantastic. He's going to be married. I'm happy for him. And
thank you, Drew. Thank you so much.
And we'll pray for you. I hope you have a wonderful weather and a wonderful day. Now, that's for sure. Let's ask God, first and foremost, for the graces that come through the sacrament of matrimony, that they'll forever keep him united and that marriage strong, and that they can be a witness to the beauty of that sacrament of matrimony. Lord, I just give you that. I pray also, Lord, for his problems, for all those knee issues that he's facing, all those right now who are having ambulatory issues. And I think of what the Lord said to St. Faustina. He says, you know, all your adversities will only harm you to the degree I permit them. So, you know, so I believe the Lord is in control of all this. And Lord, I know that you can heal instantly. That is your will. I just pray for complete and total recovery. No side effects from this. If it's through medicine, we thank you. If it's through your divine touch, we praise you equally. We pray for all those right now who are in need of that similar healing as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to our next call, let me bring Patrick Alog on, my producer today. He's been monitoring your Twitter account, our Twitter account, your Twitter intentions, and you can always post them there. Please send me your answered prayers too, drew@relevantradio.com. I love when I hear these wonderful miracles that are being reported every week. But Patrick, what's coming in today?
Yes, Drew, Jacqueline's praying for her aunt as she has cancer. Matt is praying for his grandma, who has just received the anointing of the sick and is starting hospice care. Therese is praying for her friend Anne, who died from a rare form of cancer. Buck is praying for his brother Eric, who is in the hospital for kidney failure. And Ryan is praying that he's able to keep his job, which he may lose.
Wow, a lot of intentions. So, Lord, we just we lift up all those really critical situations. I pray for those who are underemployed, unemployed, those who are looking for jobs, those whose jobs are in jeopardy right now, especially. I pray for this economy. I pray for those drowning in debt, you know, whether they're medical or school or other loans that just seem to be crippling. And today I ask for big blessings, for multiplications, for surprises, Lord. I just ask that you hear the prayers of your children, all those that have written. Let me bring Christy in as well. We'll get her on the third decade here. She's in White Plains, New York. Christy, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Drew. While you were, I was thinking, my great-grandchildren, I suffer all the time. They are not in the Catholic Church. They are not baptized. I have three of them that are, well, two of them that are definitely not baptized. And they're coming to see me on Sunday, so I really need prayers. And my granddaughter, who spent the first 10 years in a Catholic school, doesn't know if she believes or not. And her husband is thinking, considering being a Muslim, that's the way you say it. And I'm like beside myself. And so I need lots of prayers for that. And also, my daughter, the people in my family have had trouble when they got the vaccine. And I'm terrified of all the things that I hear. The result of the vaccine terrifies me. So I keep praying.
Look, be at peace. Okay, be at peace about the vaccine and, you know, pray and discern what you need to do. And God's in control of everything. And Christy, just be assured that. I know you're concerned also about those that are away from the faith. And, you know, the Lord told St. Faustina's diary entry, I think it's 1397, where he says that the prayer most pleasing to me is that prayer of conversion, the prayer of conversion for sinners. He says, "Know, my daughter, that this prayer is always heard and answer." Why? He goes on to say, because it's compatible with God's will. That's why. That's a prayer the Lord wants to answer. That is a prayer that he will answer. I have no doubt in my mind about that. So just keep offering your prayers, offer your sacrifice, and know that God will hear that prayer. I'm convinced of it. When I pray for the conversion of others, I don't know the time frame. I don't even worry about the time frame. I just know that the Lord, who is all merciful and all loving and who wants to answer this prayer, will in his perfect time. So we'll pray with you now, though. We'll join you in this prayer. So you're going to have this beautiful prayer family amplifying your prayer before the throne of God. Lord, I pray for Christy's financial state. I pray for illness in the family. I pray in particular for those away from the faith. And I just lift up all of her intentions and all those who are united with me as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Nancy is in Illinois. Nancy, good afternoon. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. Our deacon at St. Catherine of Genoa in Genoa, Illinois, has been diagnosed with colon cancer. And they're going up to Mayo Clinic in Rochester on Monday to try to discern what to do next. And he's also the main caregiver for his wife, who has a lot of health problems. So please, 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 let's pray for our deacon Bill so he'll be okay.
All right. We will do that. And Nancy, let's pray for you too, for your family, for all of your needs. But we'll lift up Deacon Bill right now. And Lord, I pray for all those who are diagnosed or waiting the test results their biopsies, their scans, that the news be good. But I do pray for those who've been diagnosed with cancer, in particular this colon cancer, that the physicians, when they analyze the reports, will have clear direction in terms of how they're to treat this. And we pray first and foremost for your divine touch. I pray for the miracle. You're the divine physician. I ask for healing, a miraculous healing. I love those stories when they come back and the cancer has disappeared. But I do pray, Lord, to also, if it's through medicine or through technology, you bring a better healing. We thank you for that. But I just ask for those who are struggling with cancer, two friends that are dealing with heart issues right now, and will have to have surgery. And I'm going to lift those two men up. They've been good friends of mine for years, and I just ask for your mercy on them and their families as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Mindy is praying with us in Phoenix, Arizona. Mindy, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to pray for my daughters for their reconversion back to our faith, and for their husband's conversion to our faith. And my one daughter, her husband is coming out as transgender, and we're having a conversation about that coming up, because we just need prayers to be able to speak the truth in love and caring and do the right thing.
I'm sorry. I really am sorry for what you're going through. I know how difficult it must be. Let's pray.
Well, they
have
a three-year-old son too. So,
I am so sorry. I really am. It's a tough situation. Let's pray for the clarity that they need, the healing, the conversion. All right, and we're gonna lift that up. I'll take another call here too. But today the theme that keeps coming up for me here is one of conversion. And we heard that call from Melissa. And again, today's the feast of a great saint. Her name was Saint Mary of Egypt. She was actually a prostitute. She lived in the early 300s and had a profound conversion. Maybe I'll share her story as soon as we're done praying the chaplet. I mean, an unbelievable conversion. And God can bring healing to those who have sexual disorientation, those who are living illicit lifestyles, those marriages that are crumbling and are going through difficulty. God's mercy is stronger than our misery. All grace flows from mercy. And we should never, ever forget that. You know, never forget that. Conversion, the Lord, he wants to honor our prayers. And I'll share with you a simple little prayer at the end of the chapel that the Lord gave to Faustina for the conversion of souls. You can pray it. But right now, let's pray our final decade right now. I want to pray for Mindy. I want to pray for everyone on hold, for Ada and Chris and Haley and another Chris and Rose and Carol and Lorena and Ophelia and Randy, and that I just give you all these souls who are waiting, all those who are united to me, wherever they are listening and praying right now. I know we are one family, and I come before you with these incredible intentions. And this is an anointed hour, and I stand on the promise of this hour and the promise of a confident soul. You know, you said, oh, how great is the power of a soul filled with trust. So with great confidence, with great trust, we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
And Saint Mary of Egypt,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, when I come back, I'll share St. Mary of Egypt's story. It's a great one. If you're praying for conversion, you're praying for an impossible situation. It just shows you the power of God's grace in all things. And I'll share with you, too, the very simple short prayer that the Lord told Faustina, we should pray for the conversion of others. So stay with me. I'll be back with that and more.
The hope lives here.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's so good to be with you today. You know, I wanted to talk about conversion today with you. I don't know why. It's been put on my heart. And look, I'll be honest with you. We all have loved ones in our life. My brother-in-law is a good man, but he does not believe even in the existence of God, right? I pray for him. He's a great guy. I didn't really come to hope he knows God. I had an uncle who was away from the faith for years. He came back with the fervor of Paul, you know, after being converted from Saul. And I love it. And that's the power of my mother's prayer and my grandmother's prayer. And I know you might have somebody away from the faith as well. To the last woman who broke down during the chaplet and was crying, and to anybody who's got a loved one that's away from the faith, your kids, I say to my wife, we raise our kids the best we can. That's what you have to do, right? Instill moral values in them, teach, pray with them. You know, then they become adults. These kids are, a friend of mine said to me the other day, when my producer, Tom, lost his wife, he said, you know, our kids, as hard as it is to realize, they're on loan to us. They're not ours. They're God's, right? Your kids are God's. Never forget that. Now, we are going to pray for the conversion of them. And St. Faustina, she wrote about this. This is part of her mission, you know, praying for the conversion of souls. And it's really one of the most important aspects of the devotion to divine mercy. It's understanding that we are called to help Jesus to convert sinners and to save souls. So St. Faustina, she wrote that each soul, the loss of each soul, plunges the Lord into mortal sadness. And the Lord told her, he says, you always console me when you pray for sinners. He says, the prayer most pleasing to me is that prayer for the conversion of sinners. No, my daughter, it is always heard and answered. And then, you know, the Lord said something else to her. Jesus told Faustina, he says, I want you to know more profoundly the love that burns in my heart for souls. And you're going to understand this when you meditate on my passion. He says, call upon my mercy on behalf of sinners because I desire their salvation. And then he gave St. Faustina a prayer. And I want to give you this prayer because I think this prayer is so critical, so important. And if you prayed over and over and over again, God will honor it. I'm convinced of it. And that loved one of yours, I think, will receive those graces of conversion. He says this. He says, call upon my mercy. And when you say this prayer with a contrite heart and with faith on behalf of some sinner, I will give that soul the grace of conversion. And you already know the prayer, believe it or not. This is the prayer. It's from diary entry 186-187. The prayer is, O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. That's the instruction of Jesus. That's what he said. When you say this prayer with a contrite heart and with faith on behalf of some sinner, I will give that soul the grace of conversion. This is the prayer. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. One final note. Conversion sometimes requires sacrifice. And I would encourage you to fast for the conversion of that soul, to offer sacrifice for that soul. The greater the misery of a soul, maybe they're really away from the faith, maybe they're in a way that is perhaps a pathway to hell. The greater the misery of the soul, the Lord said, the greater the right they have to his mercy. And the Lord will give him that grace. So together, let's pray for one another. Let's pray for our loved ones who need God's mercy. I'm going to take a short pause. When I come back, I want to share with you, maybe I'll share with you the story of St. Margaret of Egypt, but I also want to remind you of another great saint today. Tomorrow, we'll remember in a special way the anniversary of St. John Paul II. Four times, God miraculously saved him from being killed before his time. I often think about this because if God has a mission for you, nothing will stop you from accomplishing that, and he will protect you. When we come back, I'll share those stories and talk more. Don't go away.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Habemus Papam.
In the 2,000-year history of the Catholic Church, no pope ever set as many records during his pontificate than Pope John Paul II. His 26-year reign was the third longest in the history of the papacy. Only Pius IX and St. Peter's pontificates lasted longer than Pope John Paul II. This Holy Father was also the most traveled pope in history, traveling outside the Vatican more than 1,500 times for official trips. Pope John Paul II visited 129 nations and traveled more than 700,000 miles, more than three times the distance to the moon. Altogether, Pope John Paul II spent over 2.5 years away from the Vatican. The Holy Father set the all-time attendance record in the history of the world when he celebrated Mass in front of over 5 million people in Manila in 1995. John Paul was also the first pope to visit a modern-day synagogue, the first Holy Father to enter a Protestant church, and the first pope to visit a mosque in the church's history. Pope John Paul II also created the greatest number of saints and blesseds in the history of the church, more than all the other popes combined. He beatified 1,338 blesseds and canonized 482 saints. He also considerably expanded the College of Cardinals, creating 231 cardinals, and he also named over 3,500 bishops during his pontificate. Pope John Paul II loved young people and was the creator of World Youth Day, which he celebrated 19 times on 5 continents. This pontiff was also a prolific writer. He published 5 books of his own and recorded more than 1,000 pages of magisterial documents. That included 14 encyclicals, 15 apostolic exhortations, 11 apostolic constitutions, and 45 apostolic letters. His writings included 3,500 speeches from his trips around the world and 1,000 speeches at his papal audiences, which were attended by more than 17 million pilgrims from all corners of the world. Pope John Paul II will be remembered as the record-setting Holy Father, one who truly was a father figure for all mankind.
Happy in the thought that your young hearts accompany me on my journey. Keep the faith joyfully.
I'm John Morales reporting for Relevant Radio.
My thanks to John, of course, host of Morning Air. What a wonderful package and quite awesome when you think about the gravity, the magnitude, the scope and spectrum of what John Paul II was able to do. John Paul made history every time he traveled, every time he spoke, every time he wrote, every time he met with world leaders. In fact, he changed the world every day of his ministry as a priest, as a bishop, and as a pope. He fought against some of the worst isms of the world and was, I think, a father to many of us. John Paul, you know, I was struck by John Stad. I don't know if you know this. John Paul, he saw, more people saw John Paul in person than any human being who ever lived. It's amazing. He was the linchpin in bringing down the Iron Curtain. And he actually went to prison to forgive the man who tried to assassinate him. There's so much more. His feast day is coming up, his anniversary. I had an opportunity to speak with a guy named Patrick Nowakowski. He wrote a book called 100 Ways John Paul II Changed the World. And it is a good read. I would recommend it to you. I would also just like to welcome Patrick back to the show with me once again. And Patrick, there are so many aspects to John Paul II. One that we both share is that of divine mercy. He beatified, canonized St. Faustina, made her the first saint of the new millennium, and so many more. In your opinion, what were some of the most momentous?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So the whole thing started, I met him five times between 1997 and 2002, and I started giving this talk on how I met him, and there was, I just needed a bit more substance. So I put together what I thought were his top 10 gifts to the church. And, you know, I know people who are JP2 scholars, George Weigel and Paul Kingor, and other friends who have written substantially about him. And I bounced these ideas off of them and vetted them and jiggered them around and figured out, in my mind at least, and with their opinion, what were his biggest accomplishments. I'll just give you a couple and we can discuss them, but certainly the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which flowed out of the synod that marked the 20th anniversary of the end of the Second Vatican Council. It was the first universal catechism, and I think about 300 years. The Roman Catechism was its predecessor, and all the other catechisms were done in a Q&A format, including the Baltimore Catechism, which was more of a national catechism in the United States. But a lot of bishops and a lot of critics said, we don't need a catechism. What do we need that for? Nobody's going to look at it. And John Paul took the advice of the Synod Fathers and said, okay, we're going to push ahead with this catechism. And it was published in French in 92, English in 94. It became a universal bestseller. The faithful just gobbled this up. I have a friend who said they saw it in the checkout stand in the mid-90s in the grocery store in the United States. So he listened to the right people. And what a great gift to the church. I mean, no other faith has such a comprehensive, detailed book saying what we believe and why we believe it, with such great history and quotes from the saints and scripture. It's just so rich.
Yeah, and you look at he asked, I think, 12 bishops and cardinals to participate in that. And if you take a look at the men that were on that, like Cardinal Schönborn and Cardinal Ratzinger and some of these other great intellects, it's like, it's just genius.
So it was then Father Schönborn was the one who, what was his title when he started, was later elevated to Cardinal Archbishop of Vienna. And it flowed through Cardinal Ratzinger. Later, Benedict XVI was in charge of its publication, and it was a momentous gift to the church. I mean, that will last us, I would say, at least another 200-300 years. These catechisms, when they're really authoritative like this one, they've got legs. They'll be around for a long time. And like I said, I think it's in 18 languages and sold millions and millions of copies.
Yeah, I often say, look, there's two books that belong in your spiritual library, bar none. And one is the catechism, the other is the Bible. And of course, you can add to that too. If you said, hey, what else? I'd put the Diary of St. Faustine and some other great mystical works. But the catechism for any Catholic belongs right next to your Bible. Because it covers everything from questions of just war to sexual ethics. I mean, any question you have regarding the faith is contained in that book. And if you don't have it, I'm telling you, do yourself a service, pick it up and read it, and you will grow in your faith.
It unpacks the Ten Commandments like nothing else. You know, you want to know all the what flows from the Ten Commandments. It's in the Catechism, and it's so beautiful, and it's so insightful.
So, you know, one of my favorite accomplishments of John Paul II is divine mercy. He was known as the mercy pope. I know you have such a profound love for divine mercy as I have as well, overturning the ban and doing so much more. He wrote an encyclical that I don't know if everyone knows about that called Dives in Misericordia, God who is rich in mercy. But maybe talk about him as the mercy pope too.
Sure. You know, for those who don't know Faustina, and if regular listeners to the Drew Mariani Show know everything about St. Faustina, but for those of you who don't, she was a Polish mystic who died in 1938. The interesting thing is that when Karol Wojtyła, later John Paul II, was 18 years old, he and his father moved from Wadowice, where he was born, to Krakow, so he could start his studies at the Jagiellonian University. And he would pass by her convent for a few years there. Well, actually, just a few months. He came in, I think it was July or August of 38. She died in the fall of 1938. But she had been having these visions of Christ appearing to her. Her spiritual director said, put them in the journal. And it turned out to be a couple of diaries thick, you know, and that was compiled into what we now know as the Diary of St. Faustina. So she had Jesus basically told her that this is a time for mercy. Prepare the world for my second coming. Yeah. Not a small task, right? So, and he said two things that he essentially commanded her to see that they were done. One was to have a painting done the way she saw him, which is the Divine Mercy image. The second one is to have the second Sunday of Easter declared Divine Mercy Sunday. Now, that wasn't fulfilled until the year 2000 when John Paul II beatified her, but he played a substantial role. He actually said this. He said, it is my task before God to see that this is done. So he became the Bishop of Krakow. The Vatican had kind of quashed all of her writings because there were some bad translations that got out of Poland. It was under communist rule, so there was no way for them to really authenticate this. So in the mid-60s, John Paul put his top theologian in charge of authenticating her diary. In 65, he opened her cause for canonization. And 6 months and one day before he was elected pope, the Vatican approved the documents that he had prepared in his diocese, and she was, people were free to spread the divine message according to her diary and her visions. Now, he became pope. He saw through her beatification, her canonization. He canonized her as the first saint of the new millennium. And on the evening after, well, first of all, I was in the square when he canonized her, April 30th, 2000. And halfway through the homily, he said something in Italian that I didn't catch, and the crowd just went nuts. It was a 10-minute standing ovation applause. Wow. And I'm trying to figure out, what did he say? He said, this day, from henceforth, the second Sunday of Easter, shall be known as Divine Mercy Sunday, amen, fulfilling the second command of our Lord to Faustina. And that's why the crowd erupted. It was such joy. And then that evening, I knew the priest who was healed according to her canonization miracle, Father Pytel from Baltimore. Yep. You probably know him as well, sure, since passed on. He told me that John Paul said at that dinner, this is the happiest day of my life. Now, can you imagine that? Such a momentous life, you know, and this is 5 years before he dies. He said, this is the happiest day of my life. Can you imagine that? It's divine mercy.
I just love the fact that he really believed that his whole pontificate was for this purpose, for declaring mercy, making it, you know, getting it on the calendar, and ultimately preparing the world for the return of Christ. He saw a much bigger picture, didn't he? I mean, he really saw things differently than most people did. He was a prophet in our own day.
He was so forward-looking. Everything that he did, he wasn't looking back at the past. He was drawing from the past. But he was always looking forward. He so looked forward to the new millennium and opening the doors. I mean, his first thing he said was, open wide the doors of Christ, right in his inauguration homily, October 22nd, 1978. He said, open wide the doors of Christ to culture, to economics, to every aspect of culture. Open wide the doors of Christ. And then for the next 15, 20 years, he was talking about the new millennium. He knew that there was essentially a prophecy from Cardinal Sapieha, I think it was, mm-hmm, who said, you will be the pope who enters the new millennium for the church. And so John Paul looked so forward and prepared the world so well. Do you remember the year of the Holy Spirit, the year of God the Father, the year of Jesus Christ, leading up to the new millennium? That was all John Paul, preparing the world for this 2000th anniversary of the birth of Christ and this new millennium so full of hope. And that's the beautiful thing about John Paul II. Everything was hope, because our hope is in Christ. Our hope is for heaven. And that carries us, despite all these the dark times, the pandemic, we're people of hope. And John Paul taught that so profoundly well.
Yeah, in 1978, when he stepped out onto that loggia, what were his first words, you know, to the world, right? Be not afraid.
Yeah, exactly. Be not afraid. That was his mantra.
Yeah, it really was. I know you have got to run. You got another TV interview to do coming up, but I want to get people connected to you and to your book as well. So the best way to do that, CatholicPublicist.com or Novamedia.us?
CatholicPublicist.com is the easy one to remember. That's to my company website, Nova Media. My new website will be going live either tomorrow or the next day. Wow. Booksbypatrick.com. Right now, that just points to my Nova Media page, but booksbypatrick.com. The book, as you said so well, thank you, is 100 Ways John Paul II Changed the World. It's on Amazon, published by our Sunday Visitor.
And you and I only touched on a few. There are many more. Hey, let's do this again. I'd love to have you back. It's always a great conversation. Love hanging out with you, Patrick. So thanks for what you do.
My pleasure.
All right. That was... Patrick Nowakowski, and again, check out the book, Call Upon John Paul II's Intercession. I love his life, and I love his story. I don't know if you know this. I call him St. John Paul the Great, truly one of the great popes, reigned as vicar of Christ more than 26 years, died at the ripe old age of 84. I don't know if you know this. He was nearly killed at least four times during his life. And when I think about that, I say, you know, if God's got a mission for you, he will protect you. I think of how many times my life has been saved. Not like his. His were pretty amazing. Once he was playing with a gun, you know. Now, he wasn't playing with a gun. When he was a kid, I think he was 15 years old. He hung out with a friend after school, and the family owned a bar. And there was a local policeman who sometimes drank at this off-duty bar. And if he felt he was too affected by the alcohol, he'd leave his gun in the cash drawer for safekeeping. So one day, his friend took the gun out of the drawer, and they were playing around, and the friend pointed the gun at young Carol Voltiwa, who was just a few feet away, literally, you know, probably a couple arms lengths away, and he shouted, "Hands up or I'll shoot!" And as he did that, the gun mistakenly went off. Boom! The bullet left the chamber, came flying right towards John Paul II. It was at point-blank range, and then something divine happened. The bullet, amazingly, missed Carol Voltiwa. I don't know how that happened, but we know that that would be a portent of what would happen in 1981 on May the 13th, when a would-be assassin, a marksman, would fire a bullet. John Paul says that one finger pulled the trigger, the other mysteriously guided that bullet and saved his life, that being the Virgin Mary. You know, he was run over by a Nazi truck, one Polish winter. He was shot by the assassin, Mehmet Ali Acha, who fired four shots at nearly point-blank range. All four bullets hit the Pope. And, of course, he was stabbed by a traditionalist priest. Yet his life was saved. He was a Pope of great suffering, and he was the Pope of our day. Call upon him. If you're struggling with your health, if you're struggling with your faith, if you want deeper devotion to the Mother of God, he is one of the great saints of our lifetime. Stay with me. When we come back, I'll tell you about how Our Lady has been appearing to the masses.